Well, good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you, and welcome to the visitors that we have visiting with us today. Maybe soon after we leave here, maybe the sun will come out. But if it don't, that's okay anyway. I had the rain gauge check this morning. Since Friday afternoon, I have almost 4 inches of rain. So we have had plenty of rain, and God knows what we need. I want to talk for a moment today about the renewal of the inner man. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he commanded them to observe the 7 days of unleavened bread. We notice this in Scripture. Please turn to Exodus. We'll begin with Exodus chapter 12. And we will read verses 14 and 15. Exodus chapter 12. Begin reading verse 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leaven bread from the first until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And if you remember, Mr. Scott spoke last day or so, the first holy day, first day of unleavened bread, he talked a lot about being cut off. So we ask the question then, was this event just for the nation of Israel at that time? The answer is no. Notice what God said in verse 14. He said, you shall keep this feast, this memorial, throughout your generations by an everlasting ordinance. How long is everlasting? But why does God tell us to do this? And what connection does this have to do with our spiritual future? So let's continue in the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, we will read verse 14. So it shall be, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by the strength of the hand of the Lord has brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So what we see here, brethren, is this. Egypt was symbolically a type of sin. For some 430 years, the children of Israel were in bondage as slaves. But through the power of God, they were delivered. We too have been delivered from the bondage of sin. A sacrifice. By the sacrifice and the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has redeemed us from the bondage to become His sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. It is God who did the work. It is God who got us out. It is God who released us from this enslavement. The eating of unleavened bread is a memorial to this act. Also, the eating of unleavened bread directly connects to coming out of sin. God intends the keeping of the days of unleavened bread and the eating of unleavened bread for 7 days to remind us that He has done this thing, brought us out from under the bondage of sin. So if we think for a moment, brethren, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, did they leave sin behind? The answer is absolutely not. They did not leave sin behind. When they went through the days in the wilderness, they committed sin after sin after sin. Generations after generations did not make it into the promised land, milk and honey. What they did was left a place of bondage, carried an attitude, disobedience with them into the wilderness. So where do we stand today, brethren? We too have been called out of the world from under the bondage of sin. The sermon title for today, Renewing the Inner Man. Renewing the Inner Man. We know, brethren, and I think most of the people understand that the days of unleavened bread pictures a time of overcoming and drawing closer to God. But the great tragedy for so many people today is this. They never move forward. They continue to be victims of the same wrong habits. They continue to be victims of the slaves of temptations. Guilty of the same failures. But this should not be the lifestyle for us, brother. We have been called to a great responsibility. Notice what Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount. Please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I will read these verses from the Phillips translation. Matthew chapter 5, begin reading in verses 13 through 15 from the Phillips translation. Verse 13. You are the earth's salt, but if the salt should become tasteless, what can make it salt again? It is completely useless and can only be thrown out of doors and stamped underfoot. You are the world's light. It is impossible to hide a town built on the top of a hill. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a bucket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light for everybody in the house. Verse 15, let your light shine like that in the sight of men. Let them see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. So we know that this is a time God has asked us to do this. We know that this is the time to examine ourselves. And we can ask ourselves this question. Since I am the world's salt, am I becoming tasteless? I think this is a fair question for all of us here today in the Church of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Begin reading back into the New King James translation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. So renewing the inner man involves coming out of sin. So my purpose today is to give you three steps to renewing the inner man. Step one, the mind. Step one, the mind. And you may wonder, why the mind? Well, the mind is the first place that Satan will attack. Why? Because the mind controls our actions. Notice what Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. Please turn there. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Philippians 2. Verse 5. Apostle Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind did Jesus have? Jesus had the mind of obedience. Let's notice this, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 38. Christ said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, the will of him who sent me." Now let's continue in John chapter 8. We will read verses 28 and 29. John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Verse 29, "And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, but I always do the things that pleases Him." This is certainly a good notation for us to remember that we should, brethren, we should be trying with all of our being to do the things that pleases God. The bottom line to having the mind of Christ is obedience to God. But you say, "How can I do this?" We can do this by renewing the inner man, beginning with step one. Remember, the mind controls the actions of the body. But how does the mind control the actions of the body? There are several ways this can happen. The mind can receive instructions through and by the use of one or more of the body's five senses. We all learn when we were in elementary school, the five senses were sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. Those were the five senses. Lately, scientists have come up with some new discovery saying that the body has as many as eight senses. I don't know about that. We're not going to go there today. That's something for some other instructors. I don't know anything about it. I know what we learned in school, and I know what we can apply this to our body. But what we do know and comprehend from scriptures that the eye can and are being used by Satan to inject wrong thoughts in our minds. And this began with mankind and still is the weapon of lust even in the world today. Let's notice Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, talking about the tree of life, what Satan was saying to Eve, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here we have a good analogy of what the eye, how Satan used the eye to cause the body to sin. We don't know how long Eve looked at that tree. I don't know, she may have made up her mind within 5 minutes. It could have been 2 hours. We don't know. The scriptures don't know. But it says that her eyes, you know, looking at the tree became desirable. And so she broke God's law and ate the forbidden fruit. Let's notice what King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 27. Please turn there. And I'll read that from the NIV translation. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. King Solomon said, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man. Think for a minute, brethren, how easy it would be for us to allow our eyes to focus on something long enough to produce and develop a wrong desire within our mind that would cause us to sin. Eve allowed her eyes to focus too long on the forbidden fruit in the midst of the garden, creating the wrong desire, touch and eat. One thing we should make clear, brethren, there is nothing wrong with what God has created within our bodies. It's how and what we use them for. Now let's notice another event using the eye that caused one to sin. Please turn to 2 Samuel. Chapter 11. Begin reading in verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. You can finish reading the story in chapters 11 and 12 of 2 Samuel. So David allowed his eyes to stay focused on the wrong thing too long. There's nothing wrong with our eyes. God made the eyes for us to see and to maneuver and direct the bodies. But it's, as I said before, it's how we use these five senses of the Bible. So David allowed his eyes to stay focused on this lady too long. And what happened was, the eyes sent the message to the mind, and the mind thought about it for a while, and then it caused the body to take action. Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 12 through 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when it is full grown, brings forth death. Jeremiah. Please turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Familiar scripture with all of us. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. Prophet Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to the fruit of his doings." One of the greatest enemies that we have to contend with is allowing Satan to penetrate our minds. God does not leave us without instructions on how to protect ourselves from misguidance, Satan. God tells us in His Word to guard our heart, which is our mind. We have heard by saying many times, garbage in and garbage out. The days of unleavened bread pictures putting garbage out. But how do we keep this garbage out? We keep the garbage out by maintaining a constant watch. Why is it so important to watch over our mind? Proverbs chapter 4. Please turn there. Proverbs chapter 4. We will read verse 23 through 27 of Proverbs 4. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. These are the things that we need to remember, brethren, in when it comes to guarding and letting God control us, especially in our minds. Step number two, renewing the inner man requires moving forward. You know, as Christians, we must move forward. Once we commit to living God's ways, God's calling becomes our vocation, which requires our concentrated attention moving forward. What happens when we look back? We can use an analogy here that a person's priorities are on something else when we look back. When we see someone driving a car, talking on cell phone, weaving from side to side, swerving over into the center lane, what message are they sending to those who are following behind them? When we fail to move forward, what message are we sending to the world? As a Christian, we cannot make and take a beeline for the kingdom of God with our attention diverted elsewhere. We are not doing anything but altogether followers of Christ are noticing us. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Begin reading in verse 57. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another one said also, Lord, I will follow you. Let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, No one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So God wants us to move forward, spiritually forward. The advance to the kingdom of God is not backwards, it's forward. We must be prepared to put God first in all things. There will be times, of course, when this will be exceedingly difficult, especially when it involves having to sacrifice for someone. But God has promised to make a way for us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. I'm going to read this from the Phillips translations. No temptation has come your way that is too hard for flesh and blood to bear. But God can be trusted not to allow you to suffer any temptation beyond your powers of endurance. He will see to it that every temptation has its way out, so that it will not be possible, so it will be possible for you to bear it. So to move forward, we must get rid of things that holds us back. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 6. Solomon says, A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. So the message here is getting rid of things in our life that is not spiritually necessary, you know, things that will hold us back. The scriptures show very plainly in God's word that we must make a full pledge effort to rid ourselves excess baggage. This should be a part of our effort during the days of unleavened bread. We meditate on our lifestyles, think about the things that is a part of our life that is not spiritual, and gaining and living God's way. It becomes a baggage. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we all have, I have, you know, we all have a certain amount of baggage. It may be not an excess of baggage, but it is enough to slow us down. And the point we want to notice here is moving forward. Slows us down from moving forward as we should. There is in this life an essential duty to discard things. It may be habits, it may be pleasure, it may be self-indulgence, or it may be associations which hold us back from moving spiritually forward. We may notice the mountain climbers, for example. Those mountain climbers that scale the walls to Mount Everest, they don't have a lot of baggage. They can't carry the baggage up the mountain, you know, successful. We are climbing a mountain. Don't let the baggage slow us down. You see, brethren, in the Christian way of life, we have a goal. Christians are not people who stroll along the byways and highways of life completely unconcerned. We are concerned. We are pilgrims traveling on the road to the kingdom of God. These are the things that should concern us during the days of unleavened bread and beyond. Step number 3, renewing the inner man. Step number 3, pray always. Pray always. By watching ourselves and praying, we compare ourselves with the true standard and become aware of our spiritual needs. Praying is speaking to God, and He's listening. And it tells Him what comes out of our hearts. God wants His will to be done in every aspect of our lives. And He wants our prayers to be sincere and according to His will. When we ask these things according to His will, our request stands the best chance of being answered. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. Broad of vipers. Word of Jesus here. How can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Verse 37, and by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Have you ever considered that out of the abundance of our prayers, our hearts speak? Considering further, do we deeply consider what we say to God? Do we take the time to improve how we present ourselves to God in prayer? Do we think about the attitude in which we come before the great God of this universe? All of these things are important to God when we come before Him in prayer. And though we may not count it a blessing, God knows every thought, every desire, every emotion about us. It is impossible to hide anything from God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And I thought about this. I mean, the great God that we serve, and I don't know how much, you know, people think about the creation, but just ponder on this, what this verse said. There is no creature hidden from his eyesight. All of these things is running through the jungles and flying through the air, you know, God knows about all of them. The beauty of truly understanding this is that we may as well be honest with God, because He already knows the deepest intents of our hearts. God sees the tender feelings we have toward others and our desire to help. He notes the patience, the forbearance, and the true outgoing concern we have for the brethren in the church. Turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We will read verses 16 through 18. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. Verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. So here we have Malachi showing us that, you know, there's no secrets. God. God is aware of our attitudes. When we are approaching His throne in prayer, He discerns whether we consider time spent in conversation with Him to be of great value. Whether or not we are just going through the motions. God knows what we are going through at all times. And He knows when we are harboring grudges, doubts, malice, lust, covetousness, and other carnal things against another. Brethren, God is shaping us for the future. Future offices in the kingdom of God. And he learns a lot about us in our prayers to Him. Final scripture. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. So we have discussed the three steps to renewing the inner man, having and keeping control of the mind, moving forward, and praying always. I hope we can do these things. Let's pray that God will give us strength to do those. Happy Sabbath.